Certainly it's good to see everyone today. It's good to be with you. Don't forget when you leave today to grab another one of this week's devotionals. And also, back there are a couple of, we had a missionary here last Sunday night, Jerry Edwards from India, and he left some things back there if you're interested in that. If you want to grab a couple of those as you go, that'll be great too. Hope you can come back tonight at 5:30 for our evening service. We'll be studying about things that are confronting the church, and hopefully you can be back with us tonight. As we move forward in the Sermon on the Mount this week, Jesus changed from chapter 5 where he talked about things of the heart, things that we need to do, things that we need to be, to how we practice religion. And it had become a custom in their time and in their culture that their religious leaders practiced their religion to impress other people. They had become symbolic of who they were, and religion was something they used to, in a sense, promote themselves. And so Jesus, in Matthew 6, begins to deal with that. But as we look at what Jesus was talking about, we take a look at Matthew 23 for just a second. Matthew 23, beginning in verse 5, Jesus really tells us what the heart of the problem was. And he gives us a glimpse into what they were used to, what they had become accustomed to, and what religion had looked like in his day and time. Matthew 23, Jesus talking about the scribes and the Pharisees in verse 5, he says, "They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, and they love to place them honor at feast and the best seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the marketplaces, and being called rabbi by others." They had become so accustomed to receiving honor and praise for their religious deeds. They wanted to be seen as religious, and they wanted that religious practice to be honored by other people, so they began to do those religious practices simply to impress, simply to get seats of honor, to be looked at as special because they do religious things. And so that's kind of the backdrop as you go into Matthew chapter 6. And you look at the first verse there and it says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." Jesus condemned that practice. He condemned the practice of practicing religion just to impress other people, just to be seen by others and what they may say, and how they might be impressed. And so he uses that to then begin to talk about some specifics on how we are to practice religion. But before we get to that point, turn back to Numbers chapter 20. And I want you to see how tempting this can become, and how easy it is sometimes to do this and maybe not even realize it. If you turn back to Numbers chapter 20, you've got the story of the children of Israel. As they travel, as they move, as they head to the promised land, we know the story of Moses and his people. He liked to lead them and they liked to complain. He liked to stand between them and God and they liked to try to make things rough. Well, here's another case where the people are complaining. Verse 2, he says, "There was no water for the congregation, and they assembled themselves together against Moses and Aaron, and the people quarreled with Moses and said, 'Would that we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into the wilderness that we should die here, both we and our cattle? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is no place for grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink.'" It's a familiar story. The children of Israel have been protected by God. They left Egypt in a way that no one had ever seen before. And this group had been shown that God is with them over and over again, but it seems like every time they face something, they complain, they fuss, why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? And so Moses and Aaron had to get frustrated. And they go before God. And this is what God tells them to do. Verse 8, take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron, your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and their cattle. God said something very specific here. God said, go before them and tell the rock to yield its water. They had seen this before. This is nothing new. But he said, tell the rock to yield its water. Well, here's where the story gets interesting. Verse 10. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice. Water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring the assembly into the land that I had given them. Moses had traveled, had done everything God had asked, had led this grumbling, fussing bunch of people from Egypt to here. But he would not be allowed to enter the promised land because of what happens here. And what happened here, really, if you really think back, if you really look at what happened, God said, I want you to go tell the rock to bring forth water. But when Moses gets there, what's his message? What does he say? Verse 10. Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock? Where had the attention gone? Who's getting the glory here? Who's promoting themselves here? God said, I want you to speak to the rock. Moses goes and fusses at the people and says, shall we bring water from this rock? And then instead of speaking, he struck the rock. I don't blame Moses. I think I would have lost my patience a long, long, long time ago. But in his message to Moses and Aaron, after God allowed the water to flow, it is simply, you did not uphold me as holy. You went into business for yourself, in a sense, God says. And the attention was on you, not me. God condemns Moses for this action. Moses exalted himself, not God. I'll turn back to Matthew chapter 6. See how easy it was? It wasn't necessarily that Moses was just determined that everyone would look at me as righteous. But what did he do? He changed the focus of what happened to himself. And that's what had happened in Matthew 6. That's what had happened in the time of Jesus when the attention was not on God, it was on people, it was on themselves. And they had taken the law of Moses and they'd made a bunch of laws and then they wanted to brag on themselves for how they upheld those laws. And we see what that turned into. Jesus lists three different areas of concern that he has here in Matthew 6, the first of which was giving. Verse 2, thus when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Is it really a gift? Is it really a gift? If you got to get credit for giving it. Is it truly charity when you want a pat on the back? When you want other people to look at you? When you want other people to brag on you for giving? That's what they had done. That's what they had turned giving into. Sound a trumpet. Show forth. Look at my generosity. Look how charitable I am. The subject was not serving God. The subject was not giving to the needy. The subject was, look at me, practicing my religion before others. Then he talks about prayer in verse 5. And he says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Don't stand on the street corner and pray so others can see your prayers, can hear your prayers, and can be amazed by the words that you use. Prayer, much like in the time of Daniel, Jesus says it should be something that you do between you and God and not something you do to pronounce how righteous you are. Go to your place, your specific place, and pray and let it be done in secret. He goes on to talk about the words we use. Verse 7, he talks about, you know, empty phrases. Don't repeat empty phrases. And, you know, it's not about the words. It's not about being eloquent. It's not about saying exactly the right thing or just repeating words that we're used to saying. Prayer is an opportunity for us to talk to our Creator. Sometimes it's interesting just to sit and think about that very point, that the Creator of the world, the Creator of all that we see, wants to hear from us, and we have a chance to talk to Him. It's not about being eloquent. It's not about the words. It's not about repeating phrases. It's about talking to God about our lives, sharing with Him and honoring Him. Prayer is all about that conversation that we have with Him. The next thing he talks about is fasting. In verse 16 he says, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, and their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. In other words, when you're fasting, don't tell anybody. Nobody has to know. Don't make yourself look sick. Don't make yourself look hungry and tired and worn out. Don't make a show of it. Simply do it. Just fast. In fact, go the other way. Don't make it a point to be about yourself, is what Jesus is telling those people. He's telling them, don't be like what you've seen. That's not religion. And if you go back to Matthew 23 for just a moment, you'll see what Jesus goes on to say. And I think that's interesting. Even in our religious climate today, notice the words of Jesus. Notice what He says here. And then think about some of the religious people out there today and how they want to be viewed and how they want to be addressed and how they want to be talked to. Matthew 23, beginning in verse 8, He says, but you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers, and call no man your father on earth, for you have one Father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. When we practice righteousness, when we try to be what God wants us to be, It should be about God. It should be about exalting Him. It should be about raising Him up and placing ourselves in the background. It's about exalting Him. When we exalt ourselves, it's not about God anymore. It's about me. It's about how I look. It's about what people think about me. You know, why is this so important? Why did Jesus spend so much time on this? Why did He talk about this and go to these three different areas and really drive this point home? Well, I think it lays the groundwork again for what He's going to say next. Because it's all about exalting God. It's all about trusting God. It's all about relying on God. And so the next thing he talks about in Matthew 6 is not laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. But not laying up for ourselves treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. It's about where our treasure should be. It's about where the value in life should be and where it should come from. How many people do you know that wear themselves out in the pursuit of treasures on earth? Treasures here. Treasures that fade away. Treasures that will not stand the test of time. How many people rely on themselves and forget to rely on God and be content with what we have? When we exalt ourselves, when we trust ourselves, we begin to value things that are different than God, that are opposite of God. We don't trust Him. We don't rely on Him. We rely on the things that we can do. And then verse 25, he talks about anxiety. He talks about not being anxious about things. But again, he's talking about not relying on God, not trusting God, not giving our all to God. But again, worrying about what we can do, what we can accomplish, relying on ourselves. And that, it's a simple thing to do. It's a simple thing to do to allow our problems and the things that we're concerned about to become just about us and forget that God is a part of our life and wants to be a part of our life. What did Jesus ultimately say here in verse 33? But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Simply put, we must put God out front. He must lead the way. We need to follow Him. And when we put Him out front, we place our faith, our trust, our life in His hands. When we put ourselves out front, we place our faith, our trust in our life, in our hands. They don't end up in the same place. They don't lead to the same place. God must be first. If we want to be where He is, we got to follow Him. We got to be behind Him and let Him lead the way. You see, that's what had happened. And if you boil it down and you go back and you look, the people of Jesus' day had become so reliant on those religious people to lead them. People who were exalting themselves. People who were putting themselves out front and saying, look at me, look how righteous I am. And they began to depend on those people to lead them. And they were leading them to the wrong place. That's what Matthew 23 is all about. Don't be like them. Put God first. Follow Him and let Him be the reason we do what we do. As we close today, we understand that Jesus is telling us it's important to practice righteousness. He's not saying don't practice religion. He's not saying don't practice righteousness. And sometimes that will be in front of other people. Sometimes we will practice righteousness in front of others. But it must be done to bring glory to God, not to ourselves. He's the focus. He's what leads the way. When we rely on ourselves, we develop a faith problem. We develop a problem of relying on God and trusting Him to lead us. And when we do that, we can turn into the place where we get anxious about tomorrow, anxious about having enough, anxious about where we're going to go and what we're going to have. We must place our lives firmly in His hands and follow behind Him, exalting God, not exalting ourselves. The reason we do that is simple. If we exalt Him, ultimately He will exalt us. He will raise us up. Because we've placed our lives and our trust in Him. Here this morning, you've never named the name of Christ. We want to encourage you to do that. Where does that lead us? When we give our lives to Him, where does that lead us? Where does that take us? It takes us to where God is. It takes us to where we can be with Him forever. If you've heard the message of Christ, believe it. Repent of your sins, confess that He is the Son of God. Be buried with Him in baptism, having your sins washed away. Putting your life on course to be with Him. Maybe you're here this morning and the cares, the concerns of the world, the anxieties of the world have crept in and have grabbed hold. We must trust Him. We must rely on Him to lead us. If you have a need this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing?